Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg, Alaska. Today is the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, October 2nd, 2011. Jesus speaks to us about the vineyard of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of that vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some criminals become famous for the crimes they're successful at, but more often they become notorious for the failures at being criminals that they often accomplish. Some examples. The gentleman goes in to rob the big downtown Boston bank, and after the police are examining the ransom note, they realize it's been written on his deposit slip from the back of his checkbook, so they go to his house and arrest him. It gets better. The criminal who breaks into a New Orleans home, steals the TV, the VCR, and season tickets to the Saints. The next game, they just go to that seat and arrest him. The young criminal apparently had too much of a baby face, but after holding up the convenience store with a shotgun, gets all the money out of the cash register and wants a fifth of liquor. And the cash register, with tremendous resolve, right, the attendant says, "I don't think you're old enough. I need to see your ID." Hands over the ID, and clearly was just barely old enough, gives the ID back with the fifth of liquor, but now has remembered his name and address. Or our own, right, would-be bank robber here in Petersburg, who robbed, I think it was First Bank, and then drove to the ferry terminal, waiting for the ferry to make his getaway. What about the apartment complex owners? They form an association And they haven't been paying rent to the apartment owner for some months now. He finally sends his son, and they say, oh, this is the heir. If we kill him off, the apartments go to us. No, no, that's in today's gospel. They're just as likely to get away with that as using your own deposit slip to rob a bank. Right? It's just not going to work. But somehow we convince ourselves that that is true. We convince ourselves that I own this. Right? Whether this be my body, this be my talents, this be my car, etc. I own it and I can do whatever I want with it. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not how the rules work. We have two parables of the vineyard. Someone else is the owner of the vineyard. That would be the Lord. And we are but tenant farmers, stewards of the gifts that we've been given. Are we paying the vintage to the Lord? I think in some areas of my life, those vines have been abandoned and they've turned to sour grapes. And nothing good comes from them. Other areas of my life might be producing fruit, but I get too clingy to that fruit, saying, this is all mine. Not saying, actually, none of this would be possible without God working in me. There's a huge difference. And it's probably the opposite poles of pride and humility. Humility says it all comes from God. I could have accomplished none of this without God. Pride says, look at the degrees I have. Look at the hard work I've done. Look at all the things that I have accomplished. Right? Standing on the shoulders of giants. As the priest here, I didn't build this building. Right? Many of you didn't build this building. This building's been here longer than all of us. Now, you remember that building over there, thankfully. And some were even married in the building that was here before this. But we didn't bring Christianity to Southeast Alaska. We didn't even bring Christianity to the Americas. Who do we think we are that we own this? That it's ours to do whatever we please with? And I'm not just saying St. Catherine's or St. Rose. I'm saying my life, my house. Right? Children are a gift from God. And I think everyone that's a parent recognizes that. But do they recognize themselves as a gift from God? That God holds us in being and desires us to thrive? Isaiah is telling a story. Right? The vineyard owner has done everything possible to make that vineyard produce abundant fruit. Jesus, who loved the prophet Isaiah, right? When he goes to Nazareth, the first thing we hear Jesus proclaim when he opens the scroll is the prophet Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to set captives free, to proclaim a year of favor of the Lord. That's Jesus' mission statement. It didn't say, I'm here to proclaim how marvelous I am. Right? The only person who doesn't have a Messiah complex is Jesus. Right? He never wanted to be Messiah. He didn't say, listen, I'm so special, everybody needs to follow me. Please friend me on Facebook. He wasn't doing that. He didn't go around and try to empty out all the hospitals and put people out of work. Right? Just heal everybody here. Those that came to him, who sought him out in the wilderness, are the ones that we're set free. We have to come to God. Now, you've made a huge first step by being here. But I think I said it a couple weeks ago, that if you think you're a Christian because you sit in this church, you might think you're a car if you sit in your garage. I stole that from Garrison Keillor. Right, Christianity is a lot more than just sitting here Sunday morning. Christianity is by living our life for God alone. And when I say that, I list, you know, I see in my mind's eye all the other things I have up there. The things I want to accomplish. My little projects or pet peeves or political dispositions. And all of that gets in the way of following Jesus. On Tuesday night this week and on Thursday night in Wrangell, we're having a reconciliation service because it's fall. And all of our gutters are full of all kinds of leaves. Fall foliage come down and clog them up. Amen? So we're going to do some spiritual leaf raking. Now, why is confession the first thing you have to do to return to God, to set your life aright? Because it blocks our sin, blocks our view. Now, how big are spruce needles? Right? They're tiny. I mean, you guys have wimpy needles. I grew up in California where we had big, long, you know, 7-9 inch long pine needles. These aren't needles. But you know, I was up on the roof and they did just as good a job clogging up those drains as anything else. What I'm suggesting is, if you don't think you need to come to confession on Tuesday night, it only takes a few 100,000 little pine needles to block that conduit that allows God's Holy Spirit to flow through us. Sure, I don't think anyone here has committed those mortal sins that totally detach us from union with God. But we have committed enough of those small little sins that they pile up and prevent us from even drawing close in any kind of real way. God desires us to live a full and abundant life. Did you hear that passage that Greg read from the Philippians? It's beautiful. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That might be a good examination of conscience right there. Amen? How many times have I wasted time thinking about things opposite of that? Worrying, fretting, gossiping, sharing lies with my neighbor. Have you heard? Oh, how awful that is. It doesn't build up the body of Christ, and it certainly doesn't build us up. We cannot think that we can live in the vineyard of the Lord and fail to produce good fruit, and God will go, oh, it's okay. I'll let you get away with that. There's consequences for sin. Our desire is to live a full and abundant life. Now, how does this reading from the Philippians go together with confession? Well, if you're troubled by past sins, get rid of them. Clean out the gutters. God desires you to be free. And he's given us this amazing sacrament where you're totally wiped clean. Totally wiped clean. I've been trying to go every 2 weeks, and it's been fantastic. So I'm going to offer it at least as a communal penance service 4 times in each of these parishes. You know, quarterly. Might be a good time to look over the books quarterly, balance out, right, the weight of our sin and the weight of our grace, and then let Jesus take the whole weight of our sin and replace it with grace. Who would like to start afresh at least once a quarter? Of course, you don't have to wait. I'm available for confession any time. The only person I refused absolution was a pilot, because he wanted me to hear his confession while we were flying. And I'm like, okay, but no absolution until we get to the ground. Wasn't sure what his intentions were. Eventually, I gave him absolution, but I've heard confessions everywhere. On the ferry, obviously in the confessional, while hiking, while flying, while kayaking. And my greatest joy is to do for you what God has done for me and set me free. Restore those right relationships that I can walk again humbly with God, giving glory to Him alone with all the gifts and talents that I have received from God. Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.